Ephesians chapter 6, let's look at verse number 10, and we'll start here and go to maybe one or two other places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren," Paul's talking to saved people. That's how you know he's talking to saved people when he says, "my brethren." We call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, we're living in that day right now.
Amen.
Now, notice verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, what's that mean? That means you're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy.
Right.
We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, this spiritual warfare. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice these in verse 12 are ranks of devils. You have different ranks. It's almost like in the army. You got captain, lieutenant, sergeant, whatever. Well, in the spiritual realm, you've got about the same thing. The devil doesn't live in hell right now. He's not in hell. He's very much alive, and he is the prince and power of the air. When he fell out of heaven, third heaven, he is living, he abides in the air. According to verse number 12, you'll have principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Then he says again in verse 14, "Stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth," that's your waist of these Roman soldiers in Ephesians chapter 6, these Roman soldiers, they would have some type of belt, what they call the loins, girt about with truth. This held their sword, and it sort of kept everything together. "So you have your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness." Notice this breastplate covers the vital organs. Okay? Your breastplate of righteousness. You need to guard your heart. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going against whatever you've been told. I've heard a lot of people say, you need to follow your heart. No, you don't need to follow your heart. You need to guard your heart.
Amen.
Your heart can lead you
in a
bad situation. Don't follow your heart. Guard your heart. That's what that breastplate of righteousness is all about. "And then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, what these Roman soldiers did, they didn't have cleats like these football players wear, but they did have shoes with certain little spikes hanging out the back of them or the bottom of them so they could get traction. "Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." It's like having a firm foundation. After you get saved, you need your feet planted on the ground. And then it says this, "Having your feet shod in preparation for God's peace." Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now the devil is shooting those fiery darts at everybody. Your kids, your family, all of this thing. The reason they're having all of these school shootings and all of this kind of thing is spiritual wickedness in high places. The reason they're killing babies by the millions, right in front of our very eyes,
right,
passing laws so we can do so without having a guilty conscience, is spiritual wickedness in high places. The reason you'll see things running up and down the street in some of these other places, and you know, listen, I know we're on the internet and I can't help it. I gotta say it. It's a sad day when you fly a rainbow flag on a state capitol anywhere.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, it is.
Amen.
While they're burning our flags, anytime they get ready in the streets, nobody says a word. That bothers me.
Amen.
Amen.
And it should bother you. above all taking the shield of faith, wherein we should quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Now the helmet of salvation protects, here's where I want to go. I said all that to say all of this. The helmet of salvation protects the mind. You have to guard your mind.
Amen.
The mind can do, can put somebody in bondage really quick. The mind, you know, people that doubt their salvation, it starts right here. I wonder if I said the right word. I got to say, well, I can't remember what, I can't remember if I said the right stuff. It starts right here. And the devil will start playing with the mind. Just like in Genesis chapter number 3, when Eve, the devil came to Eve, and Eve said, devil, it's what God said. We can't eat that tree. And the devil said, did he really mean that? Did he really mean that? I mean, I think he's probably afraid if you eat that fruit that he told you not to, that you'll become as God like he is. The mind. Helmet of salvation. Protect the mind. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18 says, pray. So, everything that you have, the whole armor of God, everything is defensive except two. You have two offensive weapons in your favor. One is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Two is praying. You have the word of God. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 119, hide thy word in your heart, or you might not sin against God. There's two things that the world, the flesh, and the devil cannot take from you. And that is the word. Now, yeah, they may take our Bible. They may take our Bible away from us, but if I've hid that word in my heart, they cannot take that.
Right.
And there's one thing. You can remove prayer out of school all you want to. You can tell the government can pass laws that we cannot pray at football games anymore. I got news for you. I can pray at a football game anytime I get ready, and nobody has to know it.
Preach on that.
Amen.
You cannot take our spiritual weapons away from us. You can take my Bible. I don't want you to, but you can take it. And I don't know the whole Bible, but I know some word that's hidden here that you can't take.
Amen. Amen.
And it doesn't matter where I'm at. Daniel, in Daniel's day, in the Old Testament, the government passed a law you can't pray. Daniel said, so y'all pass whatever you want to. I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm fixing to pray.
Amen.
Y'all do what y'all need to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. And he prayed, they threw him in the lion's den, and God protected him through that.
Amen.
You know, so Christians, and here's where I want to go with this, and I don't know how far I'll get, and if not, we'll finish next, or continue next Wednesday night. But in Ephesians chapter 6, we have a Roman soldier here portrayed in all of his getup. And this is what I'm afraid of. In our world of churchisms, our Christianity as a whole, we don't have any Christian soldiers anymore.
Right.
We don't have any Christian soldiers anymore. You ever notice this? Our song in the hymn book. Now this is why I like the hymn book, and I'm going to tell y'all why. I like the hymn book. Most of our songs in the hymn book is to an army beat. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within.
Yep.
Amen. I mean, you just name them and you can just, what's it, we're marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. All of them are soldier songs that we sang on Sunday. Why? Because we're trying to rally the troops on Sunday to get you ready to go out on Monday. Now I'm going to say something. I wish all the kids and all the youth and all them were over here when I say this, because I know what they like. And let me just, I'm going to say it. We're on the internet.
Go ahead.
We're raising a generation that don't know soldier music anymore.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Think about this. Just think. I don't know how many of you were in the service. Anybody in the service? I know several of you were. Y'all that were in the service, I know enough about what in the service, I know enough about it to know you had to get up at a certain time, and if you wasn't up, dressed like you were supposed to, in line, and standing at attention, you had a drill sergeant in your face, touching your nose with the bill of his cap, hollering and screaming at you. You ain't home anymore, boy, get up! Go home to your mama. And that's sort of like your preacher. That's what we preach. Hey, let's get right.
Amen.
Right.
But now our churches have turned into all of these breathy songs.
Preach on, man.
Right.
Amen.
Follow the bouncing ball. Just do what you feel. No wonder we're raising a bunch of generation of Twinkies. Christians are getting their brains beat out because we have no soldiers anymore. We have no soldiers anymore in the church. Listen to what you want to, but I'm telling you, there's that hymn book has got those songs in it for that beat, for that reason. And can you imagine, those of you who've been in the service, can you imagine getting up, getting in line, your clothes is all, just out of rate, not ironed, your bed hadn't been made, and you go out there and the drill sergeant gets in your face, "Son, tell me why you were late. Why are you bed messing?" "Well, he made me mad, and he said something and it offended me." He would beat your brains out. You'd be doing push-ups till now till Jesus come. Is that y'all know what I'm talking about?
Right.
But what we have in the church, that's all we got anymore. Woo! Maybe I should have saved this for a Sunday morning. But hey, it's the truth.
It is.
Now, all right, watch that. Helmet of salvation. Now, go to this, and you're in Ephesians, go to the left to 2 Corinthians. You're very close. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 4. Now, Paul is writing this. Paul's the same writer of Ephesians as he is of 2 Corinthians. You can see that in verse 1. "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ," so on and so forth. Look at verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, notice what he said. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Now, again, what did he say over there in Ephesians? "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So, the devil, we cannot take our gun out of our back pocket and shoot the devil. You understand? We can't take a knife or a sword and cut the devil, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, if a person came in here right now into the church and tried to harm our folks, then we could take our weapons. And yes, I do have one.
Amen.
If anybody's watching on the internet, we're ready.
Amen.
Amen.
And they come in, we're going to protect our folks with carnal weapons. But the devil, We can't shoot him.
No.
So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual weapons. What are they? The sword of the Spirit and praying. And that's what we combat the devil with. Now, the casting down of strongholds. Now watch this. When you pull down strongholds, casting down imagination, it has to do with the mind. And it's amazing what the mind can do. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I'll tell you this. I've told some people, but most of you know I don't care much for green beans. I just don't. I'll tell you where that comes from. When I was a kid, had a babysitter, and I guess from what I can remember, it's very small, and made me eat green beans. It's like green beans was every day. And finally, I just got sick of it, and just they made me sick. Well, now I have a stronghold built up in my mind. If I eat those, I have a flashback. And it is a stronghold of the mind. All right? It goes on all the time. Now, that's a silly illustration, but it is true. There are people that battle things in the mind that the devil has a stronghold on them. How many times have y'all ever been out to eat somewhere and maybe you got sick or whatever, and a month or two later, maybe your husband or wife says, hey, you want to go eat turkey? Oh, I ain't going to eat turkey. I'll get sick. I'm afraid I'll get sick. I'm afraid I'll get sick. Somehow the devil has put in our mind and pulled that stronghold on our mind to where strongholds are based on lies and deception. Now, it's based upon lies and deceptions. Now, this is what they tell us. Y'all remember the story about the walls of Jericho in the Old Testament? The Old Testament. The walls of Jericho. God told the people of Israel, march around it seven times. Well, the walls of Jericho were so wide that two chariots could ride side by side on the top of that wall, and they had races up there. Two chariots could sit side by side and race, horse chariots, race around that wall. It was so thick. The nation of Israel had no weapons to get in there. They didn't have enough swords. They didn't have a bomb. They didn't have anything that could catapult them in there. The only thing they had was spiritual. And the devil's like, there ain't no way you can get in there. There's no way that wall's coming down. But when you put God in the mix,
amen.
God says, do what I say. Now, they didn't have a Bible, but he was the spoken word. We have the written word. He was the spoken word. And so when you do the written word, what he says, the walls will come tumbling down. They marched around that thing seven times and they blew them trumpets and here the walls come tumbling down and you know the song. That's just like it is in our Christian lives. The devil will build that stronghold around in our mind. There are people that battle things like maybe depression or there are people that are afraid to get on elevators. There are people that are afraid to get enclosed. I don't like it too good to be in a closed, you know, what they call it, claustrophobic. Some people are afraid of flying. They say, well, I don't want to fly. I'm afraid. Yep. All right. I'm not saying you're sinning because you're afraid. No, I'm saying it's a stronghold of the mind that we have to pull down those strongholds and casting down imaginations. And that kind of thing, if that makes sense. The strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now, a bad stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based upon lies and deceptions. I remember I've pastored, you know, since I was about 22, and I remember it took me a long time to figure stuff out. And I still ain't got it all figured out, but I've learned a few things. I remember my first church, and boy, here come the husband. He's a preacher. I got to talk to you. And boy, he would come in there and tell me, I'm talking about everything wrong with his wife, my wife, and do this, this, and this. He talks so long, I started not liking him. Every time I saw him, I didn't like her. Because everything he told me. Well, then, it was a couple few Sundays later, she said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you." Well, here she come and telling me all about him. And then I figured out something. There's three sides to every story. There's his side, her side, and then the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Right.
But he had me not liking her based upon everything he said, and I didn't know everything. I had a stronghold based on lies and deception. Not that he intentionally lied. He was giving me one, his viewpoint. And I remember that. Anyway, every one of us thoughts and different things pop in our mind. You ever done this? I know you have. You walk into a room, walk into church, walk into a place. You see a couple of people over here and there. You walk in, and this is what you say.
There, we're talking about me.
The devil says, "There, we're talking about you." Because when you walked in, they looked over, you kept whispering. Well, yeah, they walked in. The door opened. They heard the door open. They won't say who come in. I got news for you. I hate to bust your bubble, but there probably wasn't talking about you. You probably was the furthest thing from their mind. You probably are not that important to them. Based on my memory. How you know? I just know. I can tell they're talking about me. And you know, there's people that walk around and build with a built-up stronghold against somebody because of something they think. Something they thought. Something they misheard. Something they misread. Take on the helm of salvation and protect the mind, pulling down the strongholds. I read this statement. These things that pop in our minds. And look, I'm not talking about bad or immoral thoughts. I'm talking about things like I just described. God doesn't hold you accountable for the thoughts that come into your mind. God didn't blame Eve for Satan talking to her. God blamed Eve for acting on what Satan said.
That's right.
Satan's going to put something in your mind, and you say, "Get behind me, Satan. I ain't listening to that. Move on." Or you can sit there and listen to it and take it in, and then God says, "All right, now you cross the line." Old Bob Jones Sr. said this: "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair." You can't stop the devil from flying around your head, but you can stop him from building a nest. You can not allow him to camp out up here. Does that make sense? The idea, the temptation, and all that comes from, Satan. Now, here's how the process of building such a stronghold, this is how it works. You have a wrong thought or an idea, and then you're convicted, and you read something in the Bible that says something totally different. You have two choices to make. You can go into, because the reason we go into a stronghold is because we think we need safety. We feel like we need safety, so we'll run to a stronghold. Well, you have two places to run to. You can run to the stronghold of lies and deception for safety, or what you think is safe, or you can run to the safety and protection and the stronghold of the Word of God. There are verses, especially in Psalms. God is my refuge and my strength, and in Him will I trust. And my mother, she always quoted this one. This is one of her favorites, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Amen. But you call that to me all the time. And I say that. You have to learn how to quote that Bible and use the sword of the Spirit against the devil to defeat that stronghold. And that's the way it is. I remember talking to a woman one time, and she said, somehow in the conversation, I said, "Ma'am, don't you know that God loves you?" "God don't love me. If God loved me, why did my husband leave me? If God loved me, why did I have to raise these kids all by myself? If God loved me, why am I in financial difficulty right now?" The devil had convinced her that God didn't love her because of something she was going through, and built up that stronghold in the mind. Does that make sense? And the devil had convinced her that because, why? Because most of the TV preachers drive their Mercedes. You never see them. They never do a broadcast from the hospital bed. They're never sick. They have a big house. And they preach, if you're right with God, God's blessing you. If you're right with God, checks are coming in the mail every day. And so the devil will whisper and build a stronghold in your mind. And you'll think, okay, I'm sick. I'm sick. Lord, did I do something wrong? Why are you making me sick? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? You know, and all that kind of thing. I've even been in, you know, not around here, but some other churches I've been to, that, you know, well, my name, you forgot my birthday, put my birthday in the bulletin. Well, you said something about him in the pulpit. You didn't say, you know, when I did the same thing around the church, you didn't say anything. You didn't thank me in front of the whole place. That stuff goes on. You know. Well, he came to see so-and-so in the hospital. When I was in there, he I go see people when they're not even in the hospital. He wasn't even in hospital. I wouldn't see him. Oh, mercy. I hope this is making sense. I'll say this. Some of you remember Hank Williams. Not Junior, but Hank Williams. Probably one of the first true music superstars back in the 40s and whatever. Some of you remember that, don't you? Performing as a teenager, he quickly became the best-selling artist in the nation very quickly. But his personal life was that of very immoral lifestyle, drugs, and drinking, and alcohol, and spiraling out of control. A lot of places he got there, he couldn't even stand up. They'd have to, you know, he couldn't even perform and all that kind of thing. But one of the hits that he wrote, does anybody remember? "I Saw the Light." "I wandered so aimlessly, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light."
Amen.
"I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." The story goes, in August 1952, he was supposed to have been on the Grand Ole Opry. He just got divorced from his wife. He was supposed to be on the Grand Ole Opry, appearing on the stage there, and when he showed up, he was drunk. He was depressed, drug use, and all that kind of thing, and they had to take him off the stage. Well, Minnie Pearl and one of the producers took Hank, got him in the car, and drove him around town. They making him drink coffee and trying to sober him up so he could go back and, you know, at least look halfway decent. And so they're trying to cheer him up, making him drink coffee. And this, so Minnie Pearl said, "Hey, let's sing 'I Wander So Aimlessly,'" and trying to cheer him up. And they got to that course. I saw the line. And he stopped. And he said, "Billy Pearl, that's what I've been trying to say. There is no light. There is no light." I said all that to say this. The devil had convinced him and had a stronghold built up in his mind that there was no hope. There was no God. There was no light. There was no getting out. You have to be careful about what we let the devil do in our minds. I remember this, and I know it's time to go. We'll finish some of this other stuff maybe next Wednesday night. But just pulling down the strongholds, it's something, I tell you, that's really been pressing. I remember, it's an Atwood, I was pastoring there. And I firmly believe this, and I know y'all believe it here as well, and I've always tried to push this and teach it. Bible says in Timothy, take care of the widows and the orphans.
Amen.
You have widows in the church, you take care of them. Make sure they're okay. Make sure they, because they don't have a husband, so the church becomes their husband, in a sense. Taking care. Make sure that they got somebody to take care of the yard. Whatever, you know. So I found out that this lady, she's a widow lady, I found out she's having a car trouble. So I got some of the men, I said, "Hey, we need to have her fix her car. And we need to have her get her car fixed." So we did. We got funds together, we got her car fixed, this, that, and the other. And it wasn't long after that, she started missing church, missing more and more and more. She didn't hardly miss, but she'd miss more and more and more. And then I saw her at Walmart grocery store, and she sort of shunned me a little bit. And I'm thinking, man, that's odd. That's odd. And so finally, it just got the best of me, and I went to see her. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And she said, "Preacher, I'm glad you came by." She said, "I've been struggling with something the last few months." She said, "You know so-and-so, her next-door neighbor, was a fellow there. He had been a member of my church. He'd been a member of every church in the county. And every time something didn't go his way, he went to another church. Anyway, that's just what he was." And she said, "I'm glad you came by. I need to tell you. He told me that the reason y'all fixed my car is because y'all was after my money." Well, I said, "Ma'am, I don't even know how much money you got. And the reason we tried to fix your car is because we didn't think you had the money to fix your car. But if I'd have known you had enough money to fix your car, give her money back." I didn't say that. But she said this in all seriousness. She said, I let him plant a seed in my mind and made me think something that wasn't true.
Amen.
Built on lies and deception. That's how the devil does it. And you'll go on months thinking something in your mind. It may not even be true. And that's why Paul put that in the Bible. Casting down imagination. Pulling down those strongholds. When you say pulling down strongholds, that's like marching around that wall of Jericho and getting these walls down. Based upon the word. And I'm a firm, but I think our churches need to be better soldiers for the cause of Christ. And guarding what it says over in Ephesians chapter 5, that helmet of salvation. Guarding that mind. Guarding that heart. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it. All right.